coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. You find us at a very interesting crossroads, I think, in our sanity, as well as our nation, as well as our show. This is issue 201. I am Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, is my co-host, the Jedi Cole Houston. Host,
indeed,
host in his own right, as we have discussed in the
well,
last
We've
issue.
Established that, but this, I think in this case, all bets are off.
Because
we are
damn
going
sure.
to delve into a... It's like
we're gonna have the worst show.
Indeed, this is something man was never meant to see.
We're gonna have the worst show ever today.
Absolutely, this will be the absolute worst show.
We guarantee you an awful show. No, we don't. We do not guarantee you the worst show that you've ever experienced in your life.
Yes.
Right now,
you will absolutely hate this show with such a passion. It'll be probably the most hated show ever.
With something near a furious vigor, you will despite. You will stop listening to all of the episodes of
Hey Kids
Comics.
That's right. Don't listen to this one at all.
So what are we talking about tonight?
Well, actually, right there, that was just an exercise in trying to build our Bizarro audience, because so far, our numbers out of Bizarro World have been great.
They've been awesome.
Astronomical.
We've been hitting all of the high points.
That's right. We want to really wreck that if we can.
We want no hits from Bizarro.
That's right. In the interest of undermining our entire Bizarro World audience numbers... this is World Bizarre.
I love that title, by the way. You'll never know if I'm being serious or not.
I know, exactly. Damn it, I love you so much I hate you. Black Barn Jeff there for those who remember Life in Hell. We're going to talk about one of the most curiously endearing and enduring characters in the DC Universe.
Absolutely, and I think misunderstood characters and...
Well, perfectly understood. The mind boggles.
Damn it. And I think,
suddenly turned into Alan Shore there, Denny.
I think also one of the... I'll get into it as we go on, but I have an interesting relationship with this character that I really kind of want to explore... If we can, but let's start with talking about what Bizarro is, who Bizarro is, and how Bizarro came to be. Because I think pre and post Crisis on Infinite Earths, I think it's a pretty interesting story, like a weird dichotomy that really is telling of the times when it was created.
Dichotomy was dichotomy her.
Dichotomy? I almost killed... No, never mind.
That was Bizarro Julius Marx.
No, it's just Bizarro Julius Marx. We've been doing this, I guarantee you, for like a week, listening audience. It's to the point now where I'm not sure what Cole is actually saying something that's real or if he's not.
Is it real or is it Bizarro X?
I think that's how they made the first Bizarro, isn't it?
I was actually backward masking gone wrong. It was actually Bizarro that killed Paul.
Oh no! Here's a conspiracy theory for you.
Right.
If you listen to the White Album backwards, me not kill Paul.
If you listen backwards three times, then Bizarro Candyman will appear.
Bizarro Candyman.
Bizarro Candyman is unique because what he does is bring you like savory dishes.
Right,
they're like healthy too. They're like, oh, here's some roasted chicken, a small portion with quinoa and asparagus. Like, damn you, Bizarro Candyman!
Honey comes out of some other universe and just flows into his mouth constantly. It's actually more horrifying than our Candyman.
It's not deadly, but it's actually
really
fish. you pray for the actual Candyman.
It's really discomfiting when you see it. Like, you're like, I can't watch this for too long. Like, it's one of those, like, creepypasta videos that you just can't.
Yeah, it's like the unfinished last incarnation of the Ring or something, you know, just... Even the filmmakers were too off-put by this.
Right, it's like VHS. It's like one of those tapes where it's not actually going to kill you. Just Candyman standing in front of a mirror with just honey flowing into his face from off-camera, and you're just like, God, I can't. I can't keep watching this. Like,
between
this is...
that and the quinoa, it's just...
The quinoa! Just...
but we're not here to talk about things that worse than human millipede. We're here to talk about Bizarro, if you want to
Super
Friends.
I don't know. Quinoa is pretty that's pretty rough.
You know what's rougher is Quinoa Reeves. Quinoa Reeves.
And that's been our show, guys. We'll see you next week. Yes, but so...
Now that we've failed to capture our Bizarro audience, let's move on to our more human counterparts.
So how did Bizarro become Bizarro? Like, what was Bizarro? How did Bizarro get his Bizarro-ness?
Yes, indeed. What you have to love about Bizarro is he's an artifact of a different era. Because you're talking about a character that was created something like in the 50s.
Right.
When, you know, wholesome was the order of the day or else.
Right.
And you have to, you know, coming up with villains that Superman, or in this case Superboy, the original retcon, literally Superboy was your father's retcon.
Right.
You know, we piss and moan a lot as fanboys and on this show, if you know as well,
just
about
in general.
Retcon. You know, and we act like it retconning was something new, but it really wasn't. It actually goes back to back in the days of conning, if you will.
Right.
And because continuity, it's like star dates on the original Star Trek. They didn't matter. Nobody paid attention.
Well, I think we've talked about this.
Why did this star date have 7 digits and this one have 9 and this one have 4? Do you have any consistency?
And I think we talked about this on the show in the past where you guys out there worrying about your, you know, Batman numbers and your renumber ones and your new universes and your, you know, whatever.
And your 1 millions.
Right, and your how many Earths. When these comics were being made, I don't think that anyone in either bullpen of the major, you know, comic house was thinking that this was going to last any more than 10 or 20 years, and then they were going to be done. They couldn't have imagined that, you know, 60 years later, somebody on the internet was going to be typing, I can't believe that Bizarro came out in this issue, but he was wearing this color, and then in this issue he was wearing this color, and they inverted the S the wrong way on his, you know, weird stone placard on his chest. And like,
well, they had Bizarro.
Oh, no.
It's like somebody duplicated Bizarro, and then it became like regular Superman, only not. And he was sort
only
of like
not.
A, yeah, it was sort of a vermilion color to a kind of complexion there.
He was just, you know, he was just exhausted and confused all the time. Just, God, Jesus, come on, guys. Like, I don't know how to answer that. I don't know how to answer that question. Yes, I love people, but I also hate people, and they love...
Actually, it turns out Bizarro with that vermilion complexion was Donald Trump.
Oh, we're getting topical.
There you go. I just wanted to explain things away for people who are confused by the present electorate.
Right.
We live in a world of Bizarro.
It's an alternate, you know, like multiplicity meets Bizarro world that we're living in currently. So
yeah.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it while it lasts. Cole and I are going to be in our comic book bunker for the next 8
That's
years.
Real. I got my Desert Island comics.
What do you think we've been doing this show for?
I've got 60 cases of high C ecto cooler. I am so prepared. I've got Debbies and
not to throw another show into the mix, because how far are we out now?
Well, we're at 98 issues away from 300.
Well,
how
many have you plotted at this point?
Oh, I have plotted into like the 310s.
Jesus, not to put another show in the mix, but we should do a Desert Island.
Oh, Dear Lord, yes. Okay, I add that to the list.
Maybe
here.
We could do that as one of our supersized specials.
Oh, yeah, we could do like a one of the next 90-minute giant.
Yeah, there you go.
For those of you wondering what I'm talking about, we have not yet released the first 90-minute giant because we have not yet recorded it. But
maybe this will be in conjunction with that one. I don't know. But anyway, we were talking about Bizarro. So Bizarro's original origins, he was created, he, like you said, he debuted in Superboy 68, which was in 1958, of all things, by Otto Binder. And he was...
Well, I do want to touch on something before we really get into the meat of his history, is you mentioned something like, you know, you can't imagine these creators are thinking this is going to last any time. And that really got me thinking, as these shows should get all of us thinking... You know, you have to imagine that back when even Superman was created, the publishers are thinking this is going to, you know, let's ride this wave while we can.
Right. So let's get as crazy, let's get weird
with
it.
Once the war's over, who's going to care? We'll find something new to publish.
Right, because, I mean...
And then, you know, by 1967, they're like, good God, when do we get to stop doing this? We've kind of promised ourselves. And then, you know, the 90s, the mid-2000s, like... Okay, dear God, we're stuck with this.
Well, I imagine sometimes before your current...
Apparently one of the publishers is still alive.
Right. But when you were... there was a period of time on this show where we were sitting around thinking, good God, how are we going to do this? Like, how are we going to continue to create... You know, new content with the format that we have now. Obviously, Cole cracked that code, but but there was a period of time where that's what was in our head. Like,
Codex that stuff right away.
Yeah, like how do we do this? I imagine that's what they were going through. Like, okay, I think we've told every Superman story we can. So what do we do? How's about there's a reverse Superman, like.
Okay. Yeah, kids will eat that up.
Yeah.
But how do we do that? Well, of course you have a duplicator ray that's no damn good.
Right.
You know, Professor Goofball over here thinks he's come up with something. And what does he do? He doesn't, like, test it on, like, chimpanzees or something. That's expensive.
Oh, thank God he didn't. God he didn't.
Exactly. He goes and finds the one thing in all the world that's unique. He aims the damn thing at Superman. Like, you know, what could go wrong there?
Right.
Well, I guess we found out, as often we do in stories like this in comics, you got Bizarro!
Now, there's an idea that Bizarro was created before Superboy. That he was created for the comic strip.
Ah.
Alvin Schwartz, of course, said that he created it for the comic strip, and that he had a B on his chest and not an S, and he talked in weird speech patterns, and he would use the antithesis of what he was trying to say. Now, that could be true, or it could just be another one of those instances of weirdo coincidences in comics, because every story's been told up to a certain point within a certain zeitgeist that you live in, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and I'm sure that they're, those sort of things happen all the time, and we're powerless to stop them. But ultimately, this pissant duplicator ray, yes, it was, in fact, he aimed it at Superboy.
Right.
And created a doppelganger that apparently misheard someone calling him Bizarre.
Oh, really?
And just added the O of his own accord, declared himself Bizarro, and then apparently, what's neat is I've always looked at Bizarro as being like, you know, the imperfect duplicate Superman. I always assumed he was probably from one of those other dimensions, like Mr.
Well, that's later. That comes later. Mr. Pop-up.
Yeah.
Mr. Pop-up. Mixel Pop-up.
Or, as they said in the cartoon at that time, mixed pickle.
Love a mixed pickle.
So he, it turns out that in the original story, it was just meant to be a throwaway character that was sort of invoking the vibes of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Right, right.
Also, Mary Shelley wrote that she created Bizarro. He was going to have a Z on his chest to emphasize the Bizarro. And had a vermilion skin.
And was going to wear a domino mask. But yes. Then, who created then Zorro? Husband, I can't remember who created Zorro. Claimed,
yes, her husband briefly escaped his perpetual melancholy and said, "Tish, tish, no one would ever imagine paying good money for an entire volume of illustrated fantasy of that kind. Stick to prose, my dear." And thus, we got Frankenstein.
Also, let's not forget Bizarro's Cure cover band, Infinite Melancholy. Two albums.
I love Infinite
Two
Melancholy.
Albums.
What's amazing is Infinite Melancholy has that kind of upbeat Archie's kind of feel to it.
Like the Monkees.
And you're not expecting that. You know, you get these morose goth people coming in and they buy that. Next thing you know, they're buying sweater vests. It's a beautiful
thing.
They're
buying sweater vests. They absolutely are buying sweater vests.
They said, to their horror, they discover Hot Topic does not carry sweater vests.
I think that you'll find, unfortunately, Cole, Hot Topic does indeed carry sweater vests now. We've come full circle. We can't even parody Hot Topic ridiculous as they are.
You know why they carry them?
Why is
infinite
that?
Infinite
melancholy. Of
infinite
course.
Melancholy. Yeah. That's the reason.
Damn it.
Take that, Hot Topic.
I can't deal with this. The Bizarro show is too much for me. All right, so... So, yes.
This is what Bizarro has done to me.
Yeah, it's made you a monster. No pun intended. As a lot of things at that time period were, when you're looking for a monster, you create a pastiche of Frankenstein or of Dracula or of the Wolfman, or you just blatantly rip them off, whichever you prefer.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And here you get this sort of Jekyll and Hyde slash Frankenstein's monster motif, because you get sort of the idea of Jekyll and Hyde, but it's two different individuals, so they're not actually a Jekyll and Hyde motif at all. And that's how you get people, right?
That's how you get them. That's how you get them.
You set it up and you knock it out of the park. Way to go, guy who created Otto Preminger or whatever.
Preminger. I don't think it was Otto Preminger. I'm not sure.
Or it could be my new game, Grand Theft Auto Preminger.
Grand Theft Auto. It's a real boring game, actually.
It is. It really. It's just about a bunch of thugs who try to, like, you know, exhume Otto Preminger's remains and carry them across state lines because they heard that's a crime.
So this brings me to the other the thing I always talk about when I talk about what we talk about when we talk about Superman.
Yes, indeed. Is
that Superman is all – I said I'm going to get yelled at and I don't care. Superman has always been such a boring character because they made the mistake up top of making him so ultra-powerful that you have to create a clone of him that is dumber than him to give him an enemy to fight and make it actually – see, for my money, where I'm sitting in the nosebleed seats on this – The idea of Bizarro as a Superman villain, he is the most interesting Superman villain that has ever been created. Because he has all the powers of Superman, but he doesn't have the ability to use them wisely or moderate himself or
effectively. In fact, he's not even really certain what he is or why he is. He has a completely – like initially he's sort of confused about – he knows he needs to be this protector.
Right.
But his idea of protecting is to like throw cars through windows or maybe put cats in trees.
Well, he's – Superman is his – once you get past the idea that, you know, that they fought for a few issues – Superman, he idolizes Superman and tries to figure out how to be like Superman, but because of his warped didactic sense of, you know, right and wrong, he ends up, you know, well, if I do the opposite of what Superman does, people will love me too.
Exactly, because I am Superman's opposite. He's incapable of realizing how wrong he is, because in being wrong, he's so right.
But there's a melancholy to this character. There's a sadness to this character that I've always, I'm not going to say identified with, but I've always...
God, I hope not.
In certain ways, I think we all do, but I think that we really need to, you know, look at the fact that I think we all can, in some respects, if not identify, draw some lines between ourselves and Bizarro.
Oh yeah, he represents the clumsy, stupid things we all sometimes do, the things you kick yourself for. He is that part of ourselves that is thankfully a minor portion of most of us, but you know, and the difficult thing is, I think you're right about he truly idolizes Superman. He wants to be like Superman, but he doesn't understand anything the way Superman understands it.
Right. Well, he doesn't understand it, and not understanding things the way that Superman understands it, that means that he doesn't understand things the way that we understand it, because Superman is the representation of us, whereas Bizarro is the representation of other. But we all have done things to try to be popular that we didn't understand, but we were doing it because somebody else did it. You know, we were basically taking that information, digesting it, and it came out wrong. But then, but we did it to try to, you know, either prove a point or be popular, or, you know, so that we could get recognized. And I think that that's the part, the sadness in that, is that, look, I'm doing everything right. I'm doing all the right things. Why are you still punching me in the face? Like, why do you continually find me and just beat me up when I'm doing – if you're Superman and you're saving people and I'm Bizarro and I'm killing people, why – like, there's a story – I know we're going to get to it, but because it's Cole and me. For that me now, I'm a more recent convert than Cole is. But, you know, Alan Moore wrote about him, and I believe it was – what was it in? Which story was it in?
It was actually in the what turned out to be the final post-crisis story before – it was sort of like the farewell to pre-crisis Superman, which was Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow.
Brilliant book.
In which it was a single issue or a single book sort of storyline that it was basically the final farewell to the Superman that existed before the reboot by John Byrne. And what Moore brilliantly does is dispense with all of the top concepts of Superman that had ever existed, right down to the, you know, a brilliant take on the Luther Brainiac team, as they were often referred to themselves. And he dispenses with Bizarro in a way that, you know, Bizarro comes to terms with what it is to be Bizarro, and that is to be the exact opposite of Superman. And he realizes that if Superman is truth and justice and life and love, then Bizarro must be the opposite in every way. So he effectively raises his own creation, Bizarro World.
Right.
Murders everyone, destroys everything, and then ultimately destroys himself with blue kryptonite that he's vulnerable to, because if Superman is alive, then Bizarro has been living a lie by living. The only way Bizarro works in Bizarro's mind is to be dead if he is the opposite of a living Superman.
And that's the saddest thing in the world. Like,
and yes, and Moore conveys that
of course
beautifully with Superman's own reaction to this, because Superman is aghast that Brainiac's perception of all things is so encompassing that he's willing to destroy himself to literally prove himself, to as proof of concept, basically.
And this brings me, and I know that we still need to talk about Bat-Zaro and Bizarro World, and, you know, kind of Bizarro as the hero as he is in the New 52 before the relaunch, which I think is a good turn for him, because I don't think that Bizarro was ever inherently evil or a bad guy. Again, I just think that he was one of those, almost like the Hulk with no limiter. You know, if you were to write the Hulk as a bad guy, you know, if you hadn't ignored, let's put it this way, if you haven't ignored all of the horrible, shitty things that the Hulk has done to humanity, which apparently we're just okay with, by the way, how many cities has the Hulk razed to the ground? You know, how many supervillains, when the Hulk goes into a rampage, has he destroyed? But we're just like, man, it's the Hulk. He'll come around. Just give him some time to blow off some steam. Same character, except we are holding Bizarro to a different standard. We need to hold, I feel comic book Bernie Sanders coming up.
Yes, we need to hold the Hulk to a higher standard.
We need to hold all of our...
Presidential pardons, it should be, because he's outdone himself. He was pardoned for what he did before, not for what he's going to do in the future.
If we were holding Bizarro to the same... If we were holding the Hulk to the same standards we're holding Bizarro to, you know, the Hulk would have long had to destroy himself. The only thing we did to the Hulk was send him off planets where he became a gladiator god and then came back. Like, what do we do with Bizarro? Superman, you know, just like punches him. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, like in all things, it proved to be a bad idea.
Right. All of this is a bad idea. Never point a duplicating ray at Superman and never send Hulk off planet. If there's two things that you learn from this issue of Hey Kids Comics, it's those two things. But... And I'm going to start treading on some treacherous territory, okay? And I understand that up front. If you're a listener and I get anything wrong here, I'm very sorry. I don't want to do that. But, you know, I've had family members and, you know, close family members with severe autism. I've had family members with severe, very severe mental that are differently mentally challenged. And reading Bizarro, do you think that any of that played in, or am I projecting onto that character those ideals? Whether, you know...
No, I don't think you aren't, at least not intrinsically. What you're up against with Bizarro is he starts out his life in comics as an analog to Frankenstein's monster. He is the Frankenstein monster. And then once he's – and he was a one-off. He was meant to just be a one-and-done. He is written out of existence, you know, shunned by the people of Smallville and by Superboy. He wanders off and is befriended by a – wow, no, the best thing about public domain, no ripping off. It's all there for you.
That's right. You can pick and choose what you want.
It's open season. So, you know, blind girl befriends bizarre, misunderstood monster. That's new. But, you know, ultimately, both Bizarro and Superboy realize that Bizarro just simply can't exist. Bizarro is this you know, it becomes the elephant in the room, basically, because it's this aberration that should never have been called into existence. Yet, you know, at what point do we get to decide that it needs to be destroyed or put down? It didn't ask to be called into existence. It's like that Splice movie or something. that's the extent of what I know about Splice. It was a movie.
it hit a theater or two. That's what you know about it.
It was a movie, and it was called Splice. So that's wherein my knowledge ends. But ultimately, I think when Bizarro is brought back, in many ways, now we're what other public domain can we look at? Well, he becomes sort of Lenny, from Mice and Men. In fact, since DC is part of Warner, I'm really hoping we'll see something where he's holding the corpse of Bugs Bunny and doesn't realize.
Shit. Damn it. Damn it. And then, like, the Red Hood is standing there like, look at the sunset. Look at the sunset, Bizarro. Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to get a cabin. It's going to be over there. Yeah, just keep looking. Just keep.
We've got this bang. With the chamber is glowing blue with its blue kryptonite bullets. Yes.
Oh, man. Damn it.
We're going to pick some flowers now.
Oh, damn it.
So Eddie or Bobby or anybody else of our artist friends listening, we really need to see the Bugs Bunny Mice and Men mashup there with Bizarro.
Then there was, you know, where he's on trial and Atticus Finch is. I mean, there's so many to choose from. It's
in comics, he's just simply known as the Finch.
The Finch. Can we have a super lawyer in?
The Muggerville 7 are represented by the Finch.
The Finch. He could be like our Daredevil.
Oh, that's so true. Except he's like Daredevil that can see. Yeah, take that, Marvel. And he's just a lawyer, that's all.
He has no superpowers. He's just a lawyer that thinks he can fly. Can't really fly.
Twisted an ankle that way.
So that's been my relationship with Bizarro, is the idea that I don't know if it's painted that way initially. I think at some point that has entered the popular lexicon, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think even like the term Bizarro,
yes,
you know, became the fell into the vernacular. In much the same way that the word zombie did, you know, where Marvel and DC used to co-own that words like zombie, or Marvel owned zombie, and I think Marvel and DC co-owned superhero, and it became untenable. You know, it's much the same way with Bizarro. As long as you don't go open a chain of restaurants called the Bizarro House of Pancakes, you're probably going to be okay. No cease and desist necessary.
So outside of the Alan Moore representation of Bizarro, which I think was probably, in all things Alan Moore, probably one of the most poignant representations of a comic book character that you could ask for, do you have any favorite Bizarro stories outside of that you can speak to?
Well, the funny thing is, we were hoping to get Steve on this, by the way, because he's our resident Superman expert, and we may need to just do a little bumper to air with, you know, to add to the post of this later on.
Right.
But really, you know, Bizarro is one of those characters I encountered here and there. My biggest probably exposure to the character would be on the Super Friends, you know, the Challenge of the Super Friends or other, you know, outside the comics media, where he would had not only was confused about his left, right, right, wrong, you know, the that reversed the mirror image of good and bad, but also spoke, had a bit of a speech impediment, where he was you know, would talk like Bizarro. That was entirely unnecessary, guys. I mean, what's he going to do? He's from Bizarro World, but that doesn't, you know, doesn't give you carte blanche to make him talk like an idiot. So, and then, you know, I occasionally see him in comics. Frankly, I thought Bizarro was just kind of one of these, kind of a character that really didn't do it for me, and I, because he belongs to a different age. It's like Titano, the giant gorilla, chimpanzee or gorilla or whatever it was, or Turtle Boy Olsen, and where, you know, in later years people began to repurpose these ridiculous, silly characters because they belong to a ridiculous, silly age of comics where it was okay to be silly and we didn't have the internet to bitch about it. So Bizarro is kind of one of those unique things. I don't even really recall that he had much of a role in the Crisis, but one of the things that where a writer took the Bizarro concept was in Wanted.
Yes,
where they had the their version of Bizarro fuckwit.
Damn it, Mark Millar, or Mark Miller, or however you want to pronounce it. You bunch of assholes.
You know, yeah, which you knew exactly what they were doing there. You know, it didn't have to be explained to you. You kind of knew what they were winking at. But what's interesting with Bizarro is that like so many characters in the modern age of comics, you have this attempt to bring some sensibility to even the most ridiculous of characters.
Right.
And to find a way to make them work in a more sophisticated comic universe that, frankly, we all started demanding.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You
know, the better the comics were, the better we wanted them to be. And as a result, you get these clever takes on Bizarro where, Byrne decided to one-off as much as possible any of the ridiculous history of Superman with Man of Steel. There was an entire issue devoted to Bizarro being an imperfect clone. Luther gets a hold of some super DNA, apparently, some sort of skin cells or something that got left behind when he was hanging out, or some super dandruff, who knows. But he took that, told his people, clone this, I want my own Superman. And I think they couldn't, there was some element of Superman that they couldn't quite clone, so they just as we all do when we're hard pressed for something, be it to come up with a fake name on the spot, or when we don't really know what a component to something is, we just sort of look around. And of course, the old chestnut, the old go-to, they got the tar off the pack of cigarettes and put. Oh wait, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Superman 3, but yeah, they couldn't quite clone Superman properly. There's just something about, I don't know, not being from Earth. You can't necessarily find all the component genetic material or the right juice to cook it in or whatever.
Yeah, you can't make the Marikwa right because you don't have carrots, all right?
You don't know, you can't make some sort of Kryptonian roux to...
By the way, that was Bizarro's second goth album, Kryptonian Roux.
Kryptonian Roux. So, yeah.
That was pretty. I'm actually kind of proud that works on a couple levels. All right,
it does. Really does. But moving along, I think what he did was basically give you this not only an imperfect clone, but a clone that was deteriorating from the outset. It was basically falling apart because of it was just shot through with impurities.
Right.
And it was like factory seconds and with no discount involved, not like one of those little shops off to the side where it looks a little crappy, but it works for me. I'm just going to drink out of this cup,
Right. I'll just drink. The lip's a little busted. I'll just drink out of the other side. It'll be fine.
I'm careful. I'll be mindful. I'll orient from this side of the handle. So he starts to, in their battle, ultimately, is just completely destroyed to his constituent dust because doesn't have the structural integrity of Superman.
Right.
In fact, in many ways, he's sort of like the Man of Ashes versus the Man of Steel, or whatever runoff comes from steel that is no damn good.
the carbon byproduct of steel.
Yeah, I guess whatever, the Man of Carbon byproduct. I don't know metallurgy. Those of you who are smithies or otherwise schooled in the metallurgical arts, if you could write in and tell us what that material is so we can finally put that question to bed, which has existed all of 9 seconds. So this is what happens when you gaze into the Bizarro. The Bizarro doesn't gaze into you. And frankly, that's annoying because I'm taking the time to gaze, and Bizarro has the audacity not to gaze back.
Just to stare off into the distance.
He's not even like, he's like resting his eyes or something.
That's Grandma Bizarro. I'm not asleep. I'm just resting my eyes.
I'm asleep.
So,
Grandma Bizarro, you're not even sure what that means, you know?
So we need to move on to Bizarro World and its inhabitants.
Yeah, this is the part where to invoke a little-known 1989 feature film with Christian Slater, we're going to gleam the cube here.
How is that? I begged it. I don't think it's – I like the reference. It's very good.
You're going to challenge me on how obscure.
Yes, I don't think that's nearly as obscure as you think it is, my friend.
Graham Clifford's opus.
I made a Gleaming the Cubes reference today. today, my friend. I mean, but yes, we are going to gleam the cube, which is a good reference. Why don't you tell everybody why that's a good reference, Cole?
I'm not entirely sure, but as it works out, it turns out one of my other encounters with Bizarro would, of course, be with the DC guide Who's Who.
Right.
At which point I was introduced to Bizarro World, and I think I'd seen it on cartoons or something as well, where it is a cube-shaped planet. And I think that was the one concept that they did not use. There's like a cut scene from, now I'm drawing a blank on the name of the Matthew McConaughey film with the spaceships and the...
The Matthew McConaughey film with the spaceships? Oh.
Time travel and the...
Oh, damn it.
What the hell?
Not Inception. Interstellar. Interstellar.
Damn it, we're back. Again. Yeah, it was like the one concept planet that was just like in a cut scene from Interstellar. Where they went to the cube-shaped planet.
And because it's Bizarro World, they have to hate Matthew McConaughey because everybody on Earth loves Matthew McConaughey.
Exactly.
That's what makes it the saddest planet.
They force him to drive a Prius.
And wear like a Hawaiian shirt, cargo shorts, and flip-flops wherever he goes.
They just have to make him look as un-McConaughey-an.
Me Bizarro McConaughey.
That's right. No man should ever meet his bizarro self. This was the theme there. But seriously, though.
Oh, no. Bizarro McConaughey. The girls keep getting older. I stay same age.
I see live some law abiders in this audience tonight.
Live with that. Live with that, America. And the Ukraine. And Iran and whoever else listens to this show. Live with that. I defy you.
It was a line from the Bizarro movie, Ordinary Mike.
Ordinary Mike! Oh, Bizarro
Club where big, bulbous, pasty men put clothes on.
Bizarro McConaughey is my new favorite thing.
I think Bizarro McConaughey will have to visit Muggerville.
I think he's the mayor of Muggerville. I think Bizarro McConaughey is the mayor of Muggerville. Oh, shit.
Okay. Some law abiders in this audience tonight.
That is so funny. Okay, so Bizarro World. Let's get back to, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, you know, all I'd ever seen in Bizarro World was this cubist, you know, the Dali world. And, where's that Picasso? Anyway.
We aren't art majors. Leave us alone.
Art, actually, yeah. Okay, I'm a bizarro art major there.
You're a bizarro art major.
Apparently, the cube shape, it wasn't always like that. Apparently, it used to be a sphere, but in some bizarro story in like the 60s or 70s, Superman got arrested on Bizarro World for doing something perfect on an imperfect world. The normal sentence was for him to be killed, but he somehow managed to convince the Bizarro authorities that because he saw some law abiders in the audience.
That's
tonight,
right. Oh, no.
The spherical world itself was perfect, thereby negating their own law, so he could help them correct it by squaring it off a bit.
Sure.
It's not really adequately explored how he went about changing the geometric shape without, like, I don't know, destroying everything. But then again, they might have liked that.
You know, orbit, gravity. Hey, it's all.
Like they look like they wanted it.
Damn it.
That was probably the worst thing I've ever said. Please don't listen to just that part of the show, because out of context, it is the worst thing I've ever said in my life. But
thank God you're not running for president.
I know. That's just the tip of the iceberg on that statement.
I mean, for sure. Either of us. Just listen to this show. This show is all the evidence anybody would ever need in the first debate we ever had to be like, are you kidding me?
Comic Bernie Sanders at this point.
He'd be your only defender.
bizarro comic book Bernie Sanders would be. But apparently, yeah, it was Superman that cubed it off for them, thereby getting his sentence commuted. So there you have that. And apparently the bizarro world, I didn't know this either until Andy was doing this voluminous research, is actually called Hetzere, which is Earth spelled backwards.
Yeah, of course it is.
Kind of like that toy robot back in the early 80s, Tobar.
Yes.
And then, in case you were just too stupid or you gave a shit, in the narration for the commercial, the announcer to close off, kind of like going Jimmy Smits, was...
Jimmy Smits.
Said, Tobar is robot spelled backwards.
This show is...
I don't need that in a breathy, sort of... smart, you know, intellectual voice that way.
This show is just rife with deep cuts tonight. It is the deepest cuts on this show.
This show is so on the rails, by the way.
It's totally... This show is going exactly as we planned it. It's just right. Exactly as we planned it. But my favorite thing about... And this came out... There was a... The closest thing I can relate it to is an anthology series, which I very much enjoyed, and I have a few in collecteds. The Batman versus Superman, Batman Superman. Yeah, team up comics. Where
Superman Batman was the modern take on World's Finest,
right?
Because World's Finest just doesn't play well
anymore
on the racks. You know, if you combine the Superman and Batman logo, and that's, you have to look on the inside indicia to see where it says Superman / Bat, or yeah, Superman Batman, it's just like two logos. Because we were that lazy. This is the era of KFC. When I was a child, we weren't so lazy that we couldn't force our mouths to form the words Kentucky Fried and Chicken in a single sentence. Or going back to McConaughey in Killer Joe,
K-Fried C.
You want some of that K-Fried C? And believe me, if you watch Killer Joe, you will never eat K-Fried C again.
Killer Joe.
Or maybe you will. I don't know, depending on...
But Ed McGuinness...
How little Lovelace you are.
Ed McGuinness and Jeff Loeb did a... And I think it's a volume... I'm actually holding it in my hands right now. A volume of the Batman... Or the Superman-Batman book called Vengeance. And in Vengeance, not only do they reintroduce... And these are sort of the Elseworlds... type books, with the caveat that you do get introduced to the new Supergirl in the Batman Superman book, or Superman Batman book. All that stuff is some of the stuff ekes out into, you know, the
yeah,
regular
it was kind
continuity.
Of this weird sort of maybe not.
Right. Right. It's they could pick and choose from within it to whatever they would, you know, want to have in it. And one of the things that they introduced was they reintroduced Bizarro and Bat-Zarro.
Yeah, because previously there was a Bizarro, touching on Bizarro World, I remember in Who's Who, discovering that there was a Bizarro Batman.
Yes.
Who had a futility belt,
which
I
fantastic.
Absolutely love the idea of the futility belt. There was a Bizarro, the Bizarro Green Lantern was originally Yellow Candle.
Right, for sure, yes.
And later, I think they just called him something else. But
who was the most scared? I think that they billed him as the most scared man in the universe. The man,
yeah.
The man with all fear. Like, that was his, that was the shtick. The Aquaman was my favorite, though. The Bizarro World Aquaman, who couldn't swim.
Yeah, it was like they were taking their cues from the Alfred E. Newman Aquaman.
Yes, yes.
The little water wings, you know.
But
yeah, after that, you know, after post-crisis, then it allowed them. Bat-Zarro was like, why? How did they not come up with that back when they had a Bizarro Batman?
Right.
I mean, Bat-Zarro makes perfect sense.
And also, Bat-Zarro is pretty amazing. Like, that is the Bat-Zarro concept is pretty friggin' cool, because Bat-Zarro is the world's worst detective. Matt Zaro never solves a crime. He's the world's worst detective. The
Chief Wiggum of superheroes.
Yeah, his futility belt has, like, old cigarette butts and stuff like that in it that he just pulls out and it just, like, dumps out and falls all over the place.
Chewed gum.
It's so good. Like, that is a brilliant concept.
Like, his costume is mostly white.
Right.
You know, very much stands out at night.
It's you know, got like a weird reverse bat symbol on it. It's perfect. It's perfect.
Well, it takes the bat symbol and puts it upside down. So in many ways, it actually is the more logical bat symbol.
Right.
Or it suggests a very lethargic, inactive bat. And, you know, you guys go on ahead, collect all the insects or blood or whatever the hell kind of fruit, whatever kind of bat we are. I'm going to sleep in. I'm kind of a day person.
So what... So as we're getting close to needing to wrap up,
which reminds
me
of the Muggerville character Daybat.
Daybat. I think we just call that squirrel. I'm not sure.
A squirrel is a daybat.
A squirrel is a daybat.
I guess the flying squirrel is a daybat.
Yeah, right. But as we're wrapping up the show, I do have one question. And it's this, and I think we've done Bizarro.
I got a question. When the hell am I getting my Daybat action figure?
That's true. Somebody needs a 3D printer. I'll custom one up for you. So here's the thing, right? I think we've done Bizarro plenty of justice, and by that I mean we've done him no justice.
We've done him injustice.
We've done him an absolute injustice. If we're talking about Bizarro has been in. Like 500 some odd issues of comic books over the past 60 years. That's no slouch. That is more than a lot of our favorite comic book characters have gotten.
Oh, absolutely. And beyond that, he has been a part of the outside the comic vernacular. He's been in animated series. He was featured in Smallville.
Right.
The Ultimate Superhero Denial show. Which only got good after they canceled it, right minutes before, and apparently, right at the end, they're like, "Hey, look what we came up with! You'll never see it go any further."
Right. Here's a costume that you wanted for 10 seasons. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, for those of you who are fans of the last episode of Angel,
that is a brilliant reference. Always so angry. Always made me the angriest. The last line will resonate with me. The last line from Angel, I get the dragon and then go and then cut to black. Like, you know what? I don't say this often on the show, but fuck you. Yeah, that's what I have to say to you. Like that was like the hot poker into the ass of.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, you know, and the same thing happened with this sort of Legion of Doom being formed in the right before they cut the balls off of Superboy.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, Bizarro is going to figure into an upcoming Supergirl.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Bizarro has a distinct place in the vernacular of comics, a character that was literally meant to just be, like so many characters, just another quick little story, you know.
But why?
Here's the story of what happened when Superboy got duplicated poorly.
So my question for you is this. As a comic book fan, like me, I'm not. This is not an insult. A dime store comic book detective, which I think we are, and then
We are the detective chimps of comics.
And also, you know, not just us, but for comic book creators, if we're looking at 500 some odd issues that have featured Bizarro, why is it that A, he keeps coming, he keeps, you know, bad pennying, he keeps coming back, and B, why is it that we can think of so very few seminal Bizarro works?
I want to point out here, he's actually more of a good 50-cent piece.
He's a great silver dollar.
Yeah,
that's what he is. Why is that? Like, is he just low hanging fruit for the comic book creators, or is there something that resonates with Bizarro? That is he the perfect comic book character? And I think he might be the perfect comic book character in the sense that you can put him in an issue of Superman, you can take him out in the next issue, have a poignant story, have a story with all the crash bang that you need in a Superman story, one and done, get out, and you're good.
Oh, yeah, and you can wait years before he ever surfaces again, and it's okay.
Right.
I mean, we'd be a little disturbed if Dr. Doom went away for 17 years in the comics. And then somebody said, oh, you remember that one guy that was like the major villain, that Doom guy? You remember him? Oh, yeah. Why? What happened? I think two things are going on here. One is that comic books, because of that perpetual nature I was poking fun at earlier, where just like, good God, we were going to publish fishing guides in a couple of years. This was just this was like a Kickstarter, whatever that is. Because of that constant need, the comic book does what Hollywood failed miserably to do, and that is to preserve or revive characters. The reason that Lee and Kirby don't have the Fantastic Four, they clobber Dr. Doom, but they don't kill him, is because you need the character to come back. Even the one-and-done story, George R. R. Martin points out, and he writes into the Marvel bullpen, you got to bring these guys back and give them some new life. And you get they bring the character back because I think initially they're thinking, oh, here's a story. Let's have a character who does this.
Right.
And then they weren't really intending for them to have the kind of longevity they got. But then it became a necessity. It's like, good God, how many how about Daybat? I'm like, oh, that is so ridiculous. It'll probably be 50 or 60 years before somebody dares even mention a name like that. Let's go back and get one of the characters we've already done. How about that Bizarro character we all love so much? What are you doing here in our bullpen? So I couldn't resist. I was out on the street there, passing by on the way to my much better comic company. Jerk. But he perpetuates because there is a necessity. Then as you move into the evolution of the taste, as comic companies begin to realize they're not writing kiddie books.
Right.
That you have a generation that was weaned on comics and they want something that speaks to them, but can also speak to a younger generation simultaneously. Then you have a whole new breed of writer who think, I hated Bizarro when I was a kid, but I forged that hatred into how would I make Bizarro better, rather than just hating on him and posting internet blogs like I do, and going on Facebook and telling people how stupid Bizarro is. And apologies, I wish I hadn't done that now. But there you have this breed of writer who, like, I'm actually writing comics. I'd love to do my take on Bizarro or my take on any given character, and that's why you get this revision and recurrence, because new writers want their shot at these characters and so very often breathe new life and find a new purpose for characters that otherwise would have just been buried and forgotten, like Razorback.
Razorback.
But for the tongue-in-cheek nature of She-Hulk, there would be no use for Razorback.
That's true. But I still love Razorback. I think that there's a part of this where Bizarro is one of those characters that comic creators, he's one of those everybody's favorite comic book character when you're a comic book creator. So what we see is anybody who gets a shot brings Bizarro in, recreates Bizarro, gives him a new origin, and throws him in there. So like I was saying with the Jeff Loeb, I love Bizarro. We're going to get Bizarro in this. Any Keith Geffen, Bizarro. Yes, absolutely Bizarro. You get your shot at George Perez gets his shot at who wrote, was it Perez that wrote Crisis?
That was Marv Wolfman.
Yeah, Wolfman and Perez, right?
Yeah.
So they get their shot. They bring Bizarro. Everybody brings Bizarro in when they get their shot. You know, it's contractually obligated with a lot of people when they, you know, I'm going to take an exclusive contract with DC. I'm writing Bizarro into something. That's just the way it is. I think that he's a fun character, a poignant character. He is a cipher for the ability to tell a lot of different types of stories. And I think that it's just having a and against what I said earlier, when written the way that a lot of people write him, having an invulnerable goofball at your disposal makes it a lot of fun to be able to write him. You know, there you can take the gloves off a little more.
Absolutely. And also, just kind of looking over a list I found of the Bizarro characters over the years, one of the other things Bizarro allowed people to do is, like, there was a Bizarro Black Manta. The hell?
Right.
You know, why was that even a thing? Because somebody, it worked in whatever story they were telling. I remember seeing some panels and some of the research panels from a Bizarro Legion of Superheroes story. Or I think that, like, you know, Bizarro Brainiac 5 was an idiot. And I discovered there was a Bizarro Mr. Mikkelsen Billick, which is was just his name written backward. And he, because he's beholden to the Bizarro code, fixes things rather than messing them up.
Right.
I think that's one of the other reasons Bizarro kept coming back, is someone could come up with fanciful, fun stories.
Yeah, of course.
Of Bizarro things, you know.
Because how many times can you write, you know, my parents are dead? Like, how many times can you before you're like, God, I need a Bizarro story. I've got to write.
My parents are alive.
Yeah, like, I've got to write a Bizarro story. Like, I love apples. Like, that needs, I've got to take a break from this shit. Because it's just too dark. How many times can Haley's Flying Circus come to town before I need a Bizarro story? Damn it. All right. Do you have any final Bizarro thoughts?
I do.
Oh.
I have a Bizarro thoughts. In closing, I will endeavor to remember to attach to this an issue of the Apocrypha that was published on this website, which was the Bizarro Solomon Grundy letters.
Oh, those were great.
Which, yeah, I recently conjured that up and reread it, and I was, you know, not, or perhaps too actually, to aggrandize myself. I was actually rather entertained by what I came up with for that, which I had more fun writing that, and I'd forgotten after so many years what a fun little tale that was, is the correspondence between two characters whose dialogue is often a bit stilted and confusing.
And you know, they fought in Blackest Night.
Yes.
Bizarro and Grundy fought, which I thought was kind of a brilliant turn to take advantage of that particular crossover event, to have those two go at it, because
I think that's what we all always wanted without knowing it.
Right, exactly.
Or with knowing it, depending on, you know, some of us knew we always wanted that. I didn't, and that's probably what led to the aforementioned Apocrypha issue.
So why don't you go ahead and wrap us up, and we will get out of here. We will let Bizarro rest. I think we put him through his paces.
I will let Bizarro rest to the point where when I say things, they are in the normal Earth vernacular. These will not be in Bizarro, because then I don't want to drive people away by saying, you know, don't visit the website, or don't, or perhaps just if I said write to us, maybe that would confuse people into writing. But no, seriously, we're coming to you via the Jedi Cole Universe, now powered by Cinelinks. So if you picked us up via Cinelinks, go over and check out JediCole.com and discover some of the other really cool things there. There's some shows that aren't carried by Cinelinks at present, like Eddie Medina and Colleen Medina on Figments, which is a fun show, where they tackle whether or not things like Bigfoot and the Chupacabra and UFOs and conspiracies are real, or are they figments. And the newly added Re-Nerding, which is not since the Vega Bomber brought Do It Yourself, every new show that comes to the network are just wonderfully brilliant concepts, and when I was approached about this one. Hell yes, we'll carry you this show. So go check it out over there if you're catching us on the Jedi Cult Universe or via Podbean or other means. Go over and check out Cinelinks. Those guys, Jordan and the gang and myself, are all trying to keep our fingers on the many pulses of fandom, and there's all kinds of cool stuff. Our friends at SCNS Live put a lot of their stuff on there. I was checking out Jason the X reviewing some Star Wars Black Series the other day.
Manly just... Andy over there doing the Lord's work.
That's right.
Matt, I love you. I miss you, Matt.
Yeah, Matt, the muscular Andy.
Looks like I'm looking in a big, beautiful Greek mirror.
I love it. Looking at a big, beautiful Greek mirror was actually my second novel.
Was it?
Yes, indeed.
Later to be adapted by Terrence Malick into a 4-hour film.
Oh, yes.
Starring Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. That was the only place where he and I kind of parted company. I didn't see McConaughey as
right for that role?
Yeah, that was not him. East Gillis Brown, just McConaughey was not who I had in mind when I wrote that character.
Oh, my God.
East Gillis Brown was sort of my take on Encyclopedia Brown, except he didn't solve mysteries or do much of anything. And he hated his name. But anyway, check us out at Jedi Cult Universe or on Cinelinks or other outlets near you. Write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com. Watch for our tweets at the Jedi Cult U. And we're ideally going to have some content coming up finally. I've got I'm going to be working with the Vega Bomber himself to get some video content rough and running. And we have a ton of new JCU stuff coming. Hey Kids Comics Quarterly is being cut.
Yeah.
Will finally come out by the end of October. We have the 90 Minute Giant coming. We have our third annual, long overdue, because we went for 2 years with an annual each year and then nothing. So I Go Ditko is coming with us and Eddie Medina. There's just a hell of a lot of stuff going on, and I'm glad I don't have to do it all myself. So I got a lot of great people making a lot of great shows, and I'm silly for this stuff anyway. Also, on the first Sunday of November, be sure and visit, I believe it's still Watch On Air Live. .com. We are now going to be in the brand new Vocal Media Studios in Dallas, Texas, in the CBS Radio building, because we're moving on up.
That's fantastic.
For another deep cut. We are going to be broadcasting or live streaming the Rancor Pit Live out of a studio once used by Batmobile owner Russ Martin.
That's fantastically.
So I will
fantastically
be wearing my Depends that day, because I am almost pissing myself right now just talking about it. So
imagine. All right.
It'll be our first new show in the new studio, our sixth location since we started a little over 2 years ago. It has been an amazing ride, and everybody, absolutely everybody out there worldwide who has ever so much as listened to any of the crap I've espoused over the years, thank you very much.
Yes, for
checking this out, because we know we have an audience. Even if we don't always hear from you, we know you're out there, and we really appreciate that you're out there for us. 201 issues of this show. What the hell? We were going to do about 6 months, and we're going to start doing a fishing journal.
Yeah, we were going to go the same route as what they thought was happening in the 60s with comics.
That's right. So thank you for saving us, Matt, because I don't know a damn thing about fishing. So I'm signing off.
There you go. All right, so we're going to get out of here. We're going to go see if we can cast Bizarro Matthew McConaughey in we have an aquatic interstellar that we're working on. Sure. We think he's going to be perfect for it.
And Lifesaver Joe.
Normal Mike. Average Mike, is that what you called it? The ordinary Mike. Yeah. All right, everybody. Join us next week for more Hey Kids Comics. Buy, collect, and enjoy. You know what? Don't buy. Don't collect, and absolutely do not hate. Yeah, hate every second of reading your comics. Say goodnight, Cole.
Good night.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning.